Welcome home. We are WNST. Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in the studio. We are here. This is sort of a studio away from studio. This is Greenmount Station. We're up here in Hempstead, Maryland, Carroll County. For the holidays, one of my favorite things to do is just see how the main street here has the Christmas spirit. And natives of Carroll County and residents of Carroll. I've been trying to get Kara Faulkner out here for a long time, so this is going to be a great conversation. It's all part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. This is number 10, your perfect 10, like Bo Derek. There you go. You get number 10. It's also brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Luke has been running around chasing the Ravens. I was going to drag him out here. This is actually on the, Luke lives in York, Pennsylvania, so like going to Owings Mills and back, he said, I go right through Hempstead all the time. But he is at practice today. We are practicing eating turkey, pumpkin pie, apple pie. I'm going to do my little green bean casserole. But in the meantime, it is the crab cake tour. I have the, this is the fried crab cake at Greenmount Station. I ate the broiled one. It's gone. And I'm going to sprinkle a little lemon on that. But Kara Faulkner has been a friend of mine for a number of years. She is a local networking queen for all things advisory, leadership. But more than that, and I didn't know this till I blew my back out in Ocean City 2 summers ago. You had a whole background in PT, man. I didn't know, you know, and I didn't know you were from Carroll County. I just know you live in Hempstead. And I'm like, well, the next time I come back to Greenmount Station, I'm inviting you. And your dance card's kind of full with this advisory leadership thing you do. It took me about a year and a half to get you out. So I'm looking forward to this. How are you?
I am super terrific. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I see you at networking events, and maybe for the folks out there that are sports people or they don't get out of bed at the butt crack of dawn and run out to Accelerant like we did last week or the Connects event, a lot of afternoon happy hour networking. I've met you in that space. I met a lot of people in that space. I mean, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, one of our great sponsors at Gordian Energy. Joe Enoch, who now works for him when Enoch Office was out. We used to do these events all the time to bring local business together, kind of sort of what the Crab Cake Tour does, right? So you've changed your career dramatically from PT and solving those problems to dealing with, quite frankly, frenetic, crazy CEO people like me and trying to calm me down and make me better at what I do, right?
Yes.
Have I done a decent job explaining what you do?
Sure. Yeah, you've done a great job. Fantastic.
What do you do, Kara Faulkner?
Oh, gosh. Well, I take people's pain away is what I really try to do.
That was the PT part of this.
Yeah, well, it's the life part of it, really, because, you know, when I never thought that I would be a business owner. But I saw this kind of unmistakable need for change, and this kind of crazy path that I have been on in my life led me to this work that I now get to do and I love so much. So
I didn't even do the math on this, and I haven't asked you. And you and I are like, we're like friends in the real world. So she's having a hard time like dealing with the Nasty Nester part of this. Your thing happened during COVID. Am I right or wrong? I mean, like, I wonder how many people in the coming years. My hair happened during COVID. So people say, oh, you got long hair. Yeah, well, I had short hair before COVID. I guess that's the one physical change with me. Baltimore Positive happened before COVID, but really blossomed not as a political ideology, but more as like the extension of my radio thing. But I think a lot of people probably changed lives, careers, vocations. On the way up here, I'm doing Music Week this week, and I got in the car to come up to Greenmount Station, and Slim Jim Phantom was on the air, and I'm running this crazy music classic thing. It's a lot of these old interviews from the 80s and 90s. My voice was squeaking. It wasn't meant for radio. Slim Jim came on, and I felt like, well, that was a year or two ago. He was a drummer from the Stray Cats, and he's a big Strat-O-Matic baseball player. And I'm in the conversation coming up past Hunt Valley, Shawan Road, the way I come up to Greenmount, and I realized, oh, my God, we're talking like there was a plague going on. You know what I mean? Like, the conversation is all about being locked down as a musician who couldn't tour, playing dice game baseball because there was no baseball in the summer of 2020. Mm-hmm. So that conversation now 4.5 years old feels like it was a minute ago. And it feels like, oh, now I'm with you and you're like, oh, my business started in 2021. And I'm like, how many people do you meet who are where you are, which is, you know, changed lives in the middle of the plague, right?
Well, I mean, we all kind of have our own unique journeys and stories, but I mean, essentially, yeah, I did see and kind of start my business as a pseudo event, like effect of the pandemic. So after college, I was in the corporate world for a few years. Then I went back and I worked in PT for like 10 years, and I specialized in orthopedics and neurological rehab.
Westminster area, correct?
Yeah, in and around this area, you know. And then I came back to the corporate world when I realized I was going to get a divorce, and I was consulting all over the U.S. And in every room that I went to, every leader that I talked to, they had basically one of four kinds of pain. And so I was like, well, our physical wellness has so much to do with how and where we live and age. And during the pandemic, when I saw this mass casualty, you know, I wasn't working in PT at the time because it was outpatient and I was doing like some business development stuff. So I learned how to sew masks and do things, and I donated a bunch of masks to the hospitals, and I was learning new things and just kind of looking at the rest of my life. And I was like, man, like how we sit and stand has a profound impact on how and where we live and age. And I couldn't fix it in PT. You know, because they would come in, they would get better, then they would go back to work. And then when I came back to the corporate world and I was looking around, I was like, oh my gosh, wow, like if we can help people live and feel better and we start at the top, like we can really not only positively impact the leaders, but the people that are looking up to them and learning from them, and then also the families. And in this way, we can genuinely create this positive multi-generational impact and influence in lives that reduces risk, you know, saves lives, saves money, you know, keeps people at work and helps them be the best version of themselves. And so really,
I work on this every day. You know this, right? You know, but the PT part of you helping people and saying physically, I fell apart during the plague. I mean, you know this. Everybody who's a listener knows my back was a mess. I think it was from sitting too much during the plague. It was.
Yes.
I got a stand desk thanks to David Knoll from MOI.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I got this desk now that has helped me. My friends at Planet Fitness. I do a lot of yoga, but I think during the plague, the amount of time we had was so unique. And I want to say forgettable to some degree. Like, I'm in the car listening to Slim Jim Phantom. I'm like, yeah, that plague, what, did it last a week or two? No, it was like a year and a half, man, you know? And I did PT in the middle of the plague. So my back really fell apart in October of 21. This was 3 years ago. And I did PT with a young lady in my building for 10 weeks from October, November, December, and January. To this day, I don't know what she looks like.
Yeah.
I never saw her without a mask. She never saw me without a mask. I saw her 3 days a week for 2.5 months, and I still to this day never saw her face. You know, weird. That's weird. Well, that is really, that nothing's normal about anything that happened in 2020 and 2021. And I find this with young people, people that are from 20 to 25 that went through high school, college, didn't graduate on the stage, lost their prom, whatever that thing is. I think those people are going to have a whole different trajectory in life from having dealing with it. I was 50 years old when I dealt with it, and I didn't understand it, you know?
Well, I mean, because we stopped learning how to truly connect with people, and people went into this state of fear and flight or fight. And it's
that's why I didn't let you Zoom onto the show. I'm like, you got to come sit next to me, have a proper crab cake up here.
Yeah, it is a good crab cake.
It is a pretty good crab cake.
But that's really just like, that's it. It's like we stopped connecting with each other. And, you know, during the pandemic, that social isolation was crippling and debilitating for people. And I think that we're still trying to learn how to do that again. And that's like part of why I like talk about the PMCT relationship, because it's
come on. I didn't go to that kind of college. P what?
So it's this PMCT relationship.
PMCT.
Yeah.
Parent, mother, child, teacher.
So really close. So when I started this business again, it was like, all right, we're going to start with physical wellness, but your physical wellness affects your mental wellness, and your mental affects your physical. These go kind of hand in hand. And it's like, you know, if you've ever had pain, it takes up a massive amount of rent in your brain.
That SOAS thing that I had.
Yeah.
It's a fight or flight. It made you want to cry.
Well, I mean,
it made me sad.
Yeah.
Like it was a sadness thing down in there.
Well, even think like when you have pain or you're not physically strong, like as a creature, as an evolved creature, like you're at more risk out in the world.
And you're thinking of things you can't do.
Yes, exactly. Right. And it can lead to failure to thrive and all these other things instead of just being strong. But like, so your physical wellness affects the mental. It affects your autonomic nervous system, how you're breathing, blood pressure, heart rate, all of that stuff. And then these things also impact like your ability to see things clearly, how well you're going to sleep, how well you're going to recover, the levels of inflammation that you have. And those two things, your physical wellness and mental wellness, affect how you communicate and connect. They affect your personal narratives. They affect how you communicate with people at work, how you communicate with your family and the people that you have at home. And those three things, like your physical wellness, your mental wellness, and your communication relationships, they affect how you experience time in the present as well as the actual rest of your life, how much energy you have, as well as, again, like how long you're able to physically get up, get out, and go connect with the people that you love and the things that you love. And that was really during the pandemic, what we saw was this tremendous failure to thrive because people were isolated. People were not feeling well. They weren't feeling strong. They were
failure
feeling,
to thrive.
Yes.
There was no one that could thrive in that environment. It was nothing was normal in that environment. I mean, really. I mean, I think coming out of it, the fact that you identify this. So you're working mainly with CEOs or with whole companies. And I'm familiar with the space and peer advisories and people getting together and all of that. But I would think the hardest part of the CEO thing, and I didn't have to go through this. And people ask me about my wife getting sick. And I had employees then. And the second time my wife got sick, I didn't have employees. I can't imagine having 14 employees and a $1.4 million payroll during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had enough with PPPs, mm-hmm. with banks, just trying to keep myself whole, mm-hmm. my wife whole, the people I knew, my partners, businesses, trying to get people curbside and crab cakes up here at Greenmount Station. By the way, we're doing the show at Amici's on the 17th of December. And I had lunch in there last week, and I was telling people that had never been there about the plague there. I said, I distinctly remember during the early part of the plague, no vaccine, late spring, early summer, everything shut down, everybody's curbside. And I remember walking over to Amici's from the other side of the city, and it's my place. It's like my Fonzie. They don't even have a crab cake, and we're doing a crab cake tour there because that's how much I love Amici's. And so we're doing it for Christmas, and we're going to do the Pawnee Rotunda. It's going to be fine. We'll get by with that crab meat there that day. But I remember going in there, and I had a mask. They had masks. It was dark. They had the bags at the front because all the lights were off, right, at Amici's. And I went in there, and I remember, like, getting sobby, thinking, if you don't make it, nobody's going to make it. And if you don't make it, I'm not going to have these meatballs anymore. Mm-hmm. And the memories and all, I have my wedding part. And I'm like, you've got to survive this. You've got, Amici's has to make this through. So does Green. So we all had to do that. And I think those emotions and those thoughts to take yourself back, I try not to think about this, like my wife's illness. I try not to think about the 155 nights mm-hmm. a night. It's just not a good emotion, but I think it's changed so much of how we behave the last three, 4 years. Changed your whole life, right? I mean,
absolutely. I mean, like, I never thought that I would be here or go through some of the things. But that's the thing about life is we don't know what's coming. But what we do know and are guaranteed is that the way that we feel and our skin and our attitude has everything to do with what happens in those moments. You know, one of the reasons that I do work primarily with the leaders is because, again, they're going to set the tone. And if they can't physically show up for work, it has a pretty profound influence on everything else that happens within the organization. So, you know, growing up, my parents were nurses. I grew up in and around medicine, and my mom was an ER nurse. And every day she was like, always say I love you. You just never know. You just never know. And so it's like, you know, some of the core tenets of my work are, hey, if it's not a matter of life and death, let's not make it one. But if it is, by all means, let us treat it with the respect that it deserves. And so it's like, you know, we can't know what is coming, but like we can help to support each other. We can help to support the businesses and the people that we love, and we can take care of ourselves so that we can show up as the best version of ourselves for them.
Well, mental health is something that, you know, I think we've all talked about a lot more openly in recent years. You talk about your parents being in physical wellness, nursing care. I even think about this when my wife got cancer. Like, you know, we're in the hospital. They were there to, like, give her the drugs and give her the this and give her. But, like, the whole, like, the minute they cleaned her up and threw her out, she was on her own trying to have to figure out the mental health side of mm-hmm. her illness, her survival, all of that. And I think to myself, unconscionable that she wasn't given psychological help and given that sort of mental health. I don't know that we've taken it seriously. We're starting to in this mm-hmm. country, starting to, and we'll see where the next 4 years goes with the guy leading the country, but starting to talk about mental health is something that when your parents went to school for nursing, it was just sort of like, just keep your head on, be, don't cry, don't have any emotions. If you're a doctor or nurse, you can't have any emotions or whatever. Emotions are everywhere, right? And they're flowing. And I think the mental health part of being a leader, and I think back to, you said you never wanted to own it. I never wanted to own a business. If you get anything out of that crazy documentary, I just was a dude that loved sports that was going to be a writer and fell into owning a business. The mental health part of that, I wasn't prepared to do that at 30, 35. You know, I look back on it now. I have former employees that say nasty things sometimes, and I'm like, it was 20 years ago, and nobody handed me a handbook on that anymore. They handed me a handbook on how to be a parent, mm-hmm. how to be a husband, how to be a business owner, how to be a mm-hmm. good person. But the mental health part, when people approach you with roughness, gruffness, you don't get treated the right way, there's always, I'm old enough now to know there's something else going on there. Now, 100%. I never, until I was 40, I don't think it even occurred to me.
Yeah.
But the mental health part is something, just mentioning, and my head's not right. That was the ultimate, like a football game, to tap out of a game to say I got hit in the head. You just weren't allowed to do that. It's macho, mm-hmm. it's pride, it's not being in control. But I'm sure in your line of work, last couple of years, the mental health is probably where it starts. With any conversation, how are you feeling today? Did you get enough rest? You drinking enough water?
Yeah.
You eating the right things? Did you get some extra? Because it starts with all of that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like the chicken or the egg. Your mental health, physical health. You know, which one goes first, second? Like, I actually started my business in large part to have very real conversations about mental health and wellness, but proactively, because it was like, well, what are some of the things? You know, I'd read an article about suicide. You know, suicide in and around the construction industry. And so I've always been a present and future, like, where are we going? How can I help this? Like, even when I was a clinician, I didn't care as much about what the diagnosis was as, all right, what do we need you to be able to do to survive and get out and do what you want to do again? So with mental health, like, I do look at physical health and as one of the leading indicators for how our mindset is
going
to be.
When my back hurt, my mind wasn't right.
Yeah, but not only that, but, like, think about it. Like, your mental health, how you show up, the personal narratives that you have, like, you know, for mental health, like, your physical wellness, your financial wellness, your relationships around you, like, all of these things are a lot of times leading indicators for things like suicide, you know, financial hardship, pain, addiction, disease, you know, helplessness, these things, you know, when you don't feel like you have control or a way out, you know, or you don't have the ability to communicate and connect, then those can lead to this downward mental health spiral. And so there too, it's like, okay, well, hey, like, physically, what can we do to help you better regulate your autonomic nervous system? Physically, what can we do to help enhance your sleep? Because sleep is also a huge contributor to how our mind heals and works and, you know, removes inflammation. But two, like, our physical wellness and the things that we put in us in terms of our, even our digestion and our absorption of our nutrients, they have a pretty profound influence on the chemical regulation in our brain.
I ate broccoli. It's gone. I had broccoli on the plate. I swear I did.
I did see some greens on there, which is good. But again, like, that goes back to the PMCT relationship and why I incorporate that in everything. PMCT. So physical, mental, communication, and time. PMCT. It's like, so I started this.
So the
business.
T is time.
Yeah.
And is that so, like, rosemary? Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah, that's a Thanksgiving joke there.
Oh, I do like some thyme. That's good. I like to grow the herbs. But yeah, like, they're all interrelated. And so it's like, yes, I do this leadership coaching, but it incorporates these things, these four pillars of wellness, because again, like, without that stuff as a consideration, like, we're really kind of throwing money and support at something that's, you know, not going to be the best that it can be energetically or life-wise.
Karen Faulkner's our guest. She's Faulkner Advisory. She's a leadership counselor. She's not my priest or my rabbi, but she has been known to take phone calls from me and dealing with my idiosyncrasies here. We're Greenmount Station. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. I gave her number 10 because she's a perfect 10. I'm going to be number 11 like Louis Aparicio, so I'm going to have that
I like
one.
It.
We're going to give a bunch of these away. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in a bunch of places. We're at Coco's on the 4th. We're at Gertrude's at the BMA on the 5th with my cousin John Shields as well as Dan Rodericks. Also going to be at Amici's on the 17th. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 12th. And we're at Costas on the 18th. I just did that out of order. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. You decide to not be PT. Maybe this is a little bit of just back and forth on changing careers, right?
Yeah.
I've never changed careers. And I was with one of my drinking buddies, my buddy Chad Wiesling, who's going to come and be one of our Crab Cake tour guests here. He's an NFL agent.
Hmm.
And we were together after the Child's Play show a couple weeks ago. We're in Highland Town. Late at night, and I was dropping him off after the show, and we got to, had one of these dude conversations because we're kind of the same age, he's his own agency, small. He has Josh Jacobs from the Green Bay Packers, one of his guys, and we were just talking about life and getting older and what we're doing, just having guy talk, locker room talk, and I said to him, I'm like, well, what the hell else would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what would I do? All I ever was Nasty Nestor and sports guy and taking calls. And, man, the minute I stopped taking phone calls, it was heresy. The minute you try to change anything. My hair got long. Oh, cut your hair. You know, you're talking to a female. Talk to him and talk sports. Take my phone call. Be a sports guy. You can't just talk about leadership. You're a sports radio station. Stick to sports. Get back. You don't know anything about politics. I deal with all that, right? So that mm-hmm. challenge of making that sort of a move, but like in your world, you where did this happen? Like I'm trying to understand, like if I were to really quit all of this and just teach yoga, right? Like which I'd be really good at that, I think. I don't think it would fulfill me, you know, to just teach yoga. I think it'd be great, and I think it'd have fun. And if I had an unlimited amount of money, I would just open a little studio in Wailea. I'd move to Hawaii, and whoever comes by. I need to make money, but I got to, like, feed my family. And this is what I do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you saw my documentary, and I'll let you go through your notes because you took notes on me.
I still think
you're trying to make me a client. I don't know why. But making that move... I can tell you when I built Baltimore Positive, I was in 2018, I ran into Tony Robbins. He invited me to Date with Destiny.
Hmm.
I didn't have enough money to go. It was $10,000 a week, right? So he invited us as guests. And I was in this park in West Palm Beach, Florida, doing mantras, doing my own best version of myself. That's your thing. Best version of myself. Mm-hmm. That's in the script, right? Mm-hmm. Best version of yourself. I was walking around thinking, how can I serve people better with little WNST, this little AM radio station, and this radio guy nobody's ever listened to. No one listens, everyone hears, right? So how can I change what I'm doing? Because taking phone calls from people about sports, not only is it not joyful for me, it's not informative for my audience. It's not good for sponsors. I did it for 20 years. That doesn't mean I need to keep doing it, right? So I needed to change things. And I decided on that night, walking around this park that had a sign that alligators were present that I didn't see because we did it in the dark. Because if I had seen the sign, I might not have walked in the park, and then the idea never would have come.
Yeah.
But I came up with this idea to do Baltimore Positive. So I came up with that idea in December of 6 years ago, next week. First week of December.
Happy anniversary.
So it'd be 6 years ago that I came up with it, and I can tell you that it was a week of up all night in a cold room with Tony Robbins, trying to discover my purpose and what I had brought with Nasty Nestor from all of those years. What am I going to do with this? That's not taking phone calls in an AM. So that was my metamorphosis to Baltimore Positive. The documentary's part of the coming out party and the music class. Like, I'm always trying to do something different.
Yeah.
But I didn't think, like, I'm going to drop this dead on and go do that. Like, work for you and be a leadership counselor or whatever. Like, I really want to hear that moment because I think it's that moment of decision. Tony Robbins, for you, ready? It's in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped.
Yeah.
Is that that's pretty good Tony Robbins, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was very good Tony Robbins. All right. Yes. So, I mean, it was, you know, this journey, like my undergrad's in sports psychology. I came out, I worked in the corporate world, was in PT, came back to the corporate world. I had no idea what I was going to do. You know, when I was finishing up my contract with this other company, they were amazing. They were wonderful in a million zillion ways. But there
and
I was.
And you could have stayed in PT, right?
Well, I mean, I could have, but I...
You just felt like you were going to make it. You're in your 30s at the time, right?
Yeah, I was in my late 30s. And so there I was, like, out at the reservoir down the road, knees on the ground, hands in the air, Jesus, take the wheel.
Hold on,
like,
that's some scary shit. I mean, I'm just saying.
Scary.
I mean, like, literally. You know, I mean, it would be some scary thing for me right now to say I'm really quitting this, and I'm going to do whatever I'm excited about at that moment. Mm-hmm. It would be exciting, but it is really scary.
But I saw the need. I was like, my God, like there are so many leadership people, but like this physical wellness as a part of that is what needs to happen. And I want to make massive systemic wellness change that starts at leadership, one leader, one room at a time. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know where I'm going to do it. And so I started this little business with a borrowed laptop, thrift store clothes, bulk trash furniture while going through a divorce. No idea how I was going to do it. You know, it was a little 800 square foot condo with two little girls, like amazing. They were sleeping in the living room on a trundle bed, you know, and I was just in my office like, let's do some coaching today, you know. And like I started year one was coaching clients. You know, last year I added some, you know, 20 corporate clients and I got to speak at the Vatican about the PMCT relationship, which was incredible. I got to see the Pope's private garden.
The real Vatican.
The real Vatican.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it has been... For as hard and as scary as this journey has been, like, it has been so incredibly beautiful and rewarding. And it's just like...
Well, you never would have met me.
Yeah, I never
would have. And all the other people, all the other goons we hang out with at the beach in Mako and like, all these networking people we know, you know?
I didn't know anybody in Baltimore. You know, like, I was treating out at a small clinic out here. I knew, and like, here it is, these couple, and I have these beautiful people in my network that are absolutely incredible. You know, I've met some incredible peers, clients, friends, stories. I know, like, I got to.
So, I 3 years into this, if I were to like give you the top 3-5 things, you're doing like a little book or a white paper on something that I'll give you an example. So, when I decided to lose weight back in 2006, I think we had something in common. My nickname in middle school was Meatball.
Mm.
And then after that, it was Doughboy.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice names, right? Dundalk in the 70s, right?
Wow.
I was missing a finger, too. Mm-hmm. So Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Dog. You know, we've all been picked on, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I decided to lose weight back in 2006. And the reason it happened, and why I had no peer pressure, although I did at one point have one friend who's no longer a friend in my life, but say to me, give me your driver's license. And I pulled my driver's license out. Mm-hmm. And he said, how much do you weigh? And I said, well, I probably weigh like, I said, I just got back from Brazil and Argentina and I was drinking a lot of wine and eating a lot of red meat. And I said, I probably weigh 175 right now.
What?
And I got on the scale and I weighed 178.
Wow.
So wait, this is in the spring of 06. So it's 18 years ago. Wow. And I handed him my driver's license. And what did it say
Who
on there?
Is
what,
that no, man?
Look at the weight. Look at the weight on
148.
There. 148. My weight has been 148 on my driver's license since last century. You know what I mean? Like since probably 19, you know, whatever, 19 something, right?
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me and he literally, we'd had a couple of drinks. He's like, he'll never effing weigh that again.
Uh-huh.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I'm like, oh, we're going to talk some ish, are we?
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk. And when it came time for me to lose weight, my wife became, and this is a great shout out for Planet Fitness, my wife became obsessed with The Biggest Loser.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has never been heavy.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was always like the little flat-chested, skinny little girl. Her sister was always bigger. Her sister's still bigger. And she never had to lose weight or thought about it. She just was always kind of skinny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she always watched The Biggest Loser, and she would watch it on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And she's watching these people, like, you know, Biggest Loser, losing a lot of weight. And I knew there were people I knew on there. Scott Mitchell, the old quarterback from the Ravens. It was celebrity and all that. And every time I would watch a Celebrity Fit Club or would watch any, and we met Jillian Michaels and like all that, they all had the same thing. All the celebrity shows, it was like breakfast, oatmeal, blueberries, breakfast, mm-hmm. breakfast, breakfast. And I'm like, I don't eat breakfast. And when I do, it's eggs or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, all right, so start the day with the right food. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good idea if you want to, it's probably a good idea. So I started every day of my life, and I got a banana and fresh blueberries, and I have had fresh blueberries for breakfast probably 96% of the days when I'm not getting shrimp and grits at mm-hmm. State Fair or doing something silly on vacation. Uh-huh. But I eat berries and oats for breakfast 6.5 days a week mm-hmm. and have for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And that was my little silly, if I were to write a book on how you lost weight or things that you do every day, it was so crazy. My employees that hated me, that was one of the weird things they made fun of me after when I fired them, was for eating cereal in meetings in the morning. I was mm-hmm. known for being mm-hmm. this guy that always had strawberries and blueberries. And I'm 56, and I've kept my weight off for 18 years. Yeah. If I were to, and I'm not going to get naked right now, take my glasses and my shirt off and everything, but when I do weigh myself, right this minute.
Are you pinching an inch?
Yeah. I'm 151 right now.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 152.
Oh, wow.
I could get to 48 if I, wasn't like wrestling where I have to spit in the cup. But I want to hear your... 3 years into this, what's something you tell every CEO? So if I were working for you and saying you got to fix your diet, I would say, look, find a way to eat oats, empowering fruit, blueberry, superfoods, antioxidants. Do that for breakfast. And Baldinger was really on me about this. Baldinger was the guy that got me doing, I'll do it with his finger out. Baldy was the one in 1999, said, you got to get into hot yoga. You got to do hot yoga. Baldy got after me about 7 years ago. He's selling some crap. And he's like, Nasty, 90% of the population is dehydrated. Let me see your fingers. You're dehydrated. Look at your finger. You're dehydrated. You got to have water. You got to have. So I am a cereal water drinker. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never drank water before mm-hmm. I was 30, right? Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine who's 60 years old, says, I don't like water. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what do you like, life? Your body's made up of 98% of it. So I need to hear your thing that you have seen in every CEO that you have to say to everyone. Is it a mental issue, a physical issue? What is the first book of Karen Faulkner and Faulkner Leadership Advisory for what you're saying to people, what you're seeing with what your people?
So I would say, obviously everybody is different. Everybody has different nutritional needs, time needs, any one of those categories.
They all drink water.
So some of them.
They should.
I don't tell anybody what they should do.
Oh, really? What do you tell them what they do? It would be a good idea. Here's a recommendation for you.
Food for thought, something to consider. I don't offer medical
advice. You coach me, you're going to have your foot up my ass because I need it. Do I look like I need it?
No.
I need it. No, I don't. I need, if I'm coming to you to be led, I don't want you to not be nice to me, but I want you to be really, really holding me accountable.
Well, that is part of it, is accountability. But I would say, so even in my first book, it's comically simple. We are masters at overcomplicating everything. And so I would say that rules for myself, and I'm the first one to say, I'm human. People don't come to me because I know everything. They come to me because they know that I am genuinely safe and objective. There's no good, bad, right, wrong. Anything goes as long as they're not.
I think you use really healthy, but I saw you eat French fries here. So I know you break rules.
You got to treat yourself. But I would say that one of the biggest things is prioritizing time for yourself. Almost every day starts with the most important meeting of the day, which is the meeting with yourself about who you are and what you're doing. What you're after that day.
I call that the strategy thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I love that under dim light. Mm-hmm. I have some dim lights in the morning for my eyes to adjust. I have a shot sheet that I have, mm-hmm. one sheet of paper. I brought my pen. I have 4 color pens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Financial things are green. Important things are red. Mm-hmm. Daily tasks are blue. Mundane stuff's black.
That's very organized. I'm impressed.
I run a business. I got to be there. I don't know if you know, there's just me, and that's part of, we all feel that way, though, right?
100%.
But if you're not waking up in the morning with a plan, if you don't...
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people don't have a plan, or they don't stick to them. So,
I drive my wife nuts, because I'm like, look, we need a family meeting. Yeah. About what? about the schedule. Because we have a car and we have a life and we have food. Now, do you want me to bring a crab cake home from Green Bay? Like, you have to have
have
a family meeting. You have to have a strategy.
But sometimes we get so stuck in fight or flight mode and go mode and do mode and take care of other people mode that we forget to take care of ourselves.
All right. So this is page one.
And so it's like coming up out of the weeds is like set a meeting with yourself. Focus on your sleep because we don't get enough of it. And again, that's like neuroprotective, remove inflammation, keep yourself. And like that helps us to see clearly.
If I told you how much I sleep, you'd be mad at me.
Well, I don't judge anyone. Everybody's different, you know. But
I'm 4 to 5 hours a day.
But how much of that is like good quality sleep?
All of it.
Yeah. And so like
I sleep until, you know, I'm a 56-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're young and beautiful.
Yeah, so you get up in the middle of the night.
I got to pee. Yeah. I mean, and we've already discussed that I'm overhydrated in a general sense. I'm overhydrated, a little coffee in the morning, and then I go water and, you know, electrolytes.
Yeah.
I'm doing yoga in 3 hours, sweating my, my spadoobies off. I got to be hydrated, and then I hydrate after.
Yeah.
And then at 2 a.m, I wake up, I pee. And you know what my cat says to me? Meow.
Yeah.
You know what that means? I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
So then I feed the cat.
Yeah.
I pee. And I'm like, well, I got Karen on the show today. What else I got going on? And then I start working.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I've become a napper.
Mm-hmm.
I took a itsy bitsy little nap today like an old man. I took like a little 45 minute. I slept today from 9 a.m. to 9:45 a.m. I woke up at 2 a.m.
Good for you.
I wake up by 4 most mornings.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Is that an achiever thing in your mind, getting up in the morning?
Again, everybody's different. Everybody has their, like, some people are morning people, some people are night people, some people need a lot of sleep, some people need a couple hours.
You are like a priest or a rabbi to me. So I would say to you, for me, the one way I know I'm getting enough sleep, and I always get enough sleep, is do I look like I have enough energy for you for today to get through what I need to get through?
Mm-hmm.
Do I look like I'm not going to make yoga tonight? Do I look like I'm not going to make it through Tim Watts? And I know I'm sleeping well enough because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't need a Snickers in the middle of the day, right?
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's just it. It's like
I never feel that way
without the right amount of rest, and that might be like actual sleep rest or just rest. Like allowing yourself the permission to rest.
I think the yoga thing, and I haven't done a lot of studying on it, but I've been doing it for 25 years. There is a part in yoga where you do Shavasana at the end.
Yes.
And you get that little couple of minutes. And all the teachers are like, this is the most important part of the class. This is where all that goodness settles in. And you're laying there in a pile of sweat. My hair's all over the place. I'm hoping nobody's looking at my makeup. And that couple of minutes of like, you know, there's nothing like that in the world. And I can't imagine having two kids running around, bosses, wives, people, employees don't like you, customers that are mad at you, like all the things that go on in the world. If you don't have that, you know, if you don't have a place for that, you're missing out. You're not really living. Living fully.
We need rest, work, and play as humans to be like really, really well dialed
in. I'm making
in.
Up all the work and the rest I'm getting for all the playing I did earlier. I had so much fun when I was younger. You know,
all
it's
work
crazy.
And no play.
Well, you saw
no
the documentaries. You know, Karen Faulkner's here. Faulkner, am I saying it right? Leadership Advisory.
Faulkner Advisory, yeah.
Is that my, did I say that right?
Yeah.
I'm just reading off what I saw on Facebook or LinkedIn.
As long as they spell my last name right, they'll probably find me. Faulkner.
All right. So before you get to the documentary, because I want you to promote that, because, I mean, we've been friends for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I made you watch it.
Well, you didn't make
me never would have watched it had we not done the show today. But I'm like, look, watch it so you at least have a real sense of what I do, that I'm not just a really sexy guy with the long hair who's not like anybody else in any of the networking things, that you just know is being the wacky radio guy, right? And the funniest thing for you is you're like, I never knew why you were nasty Nestor.
That was
I don't even know
thing.
You knew I was nasty Nestor. I've only known you 5 years. Did I introduce myself to you? But people come up to me and they call me nasty, and you're probably wondering why.
Well, and it's like, again, like I didn't, like I'm new to
and you're not a sports fan.
Community, you know, like I'm a 3-year-old infant essentially in this this business community. And so, yeah, like you hear this and you meet, and like, you know, we've talked about, like, you're an authentic person. You're not afraid of telling the truth. You're not afraid of being you. And so it was just like, okay, well, this guy is like not afraid to have tough conversations. And so like, did he have one? And the name stuck. But to hear that that was like, goes all the way back to these wee little kids and babies.
They're not, they're 42 years old with twins living in Brooklyn.
But he was just.
And they still call me Nasty Nasty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, them and a lot of other people, apparently.
They do.
But it was just, it's. That's the thing that I love about humans is like we are endlessly fascinating creatures with these stories about, you know, what makes us who we are and do the things that we do.
And well, I just wanted to tell it for people. I'm 56 years old. I mean,
yeah.
I'll be 57 soon. I know there are people like you. I met you in the backseat of an Uber.
That
in Ocean
really
City,
bad.
Maryland, with all of these networking people going from one place to another, and I look up and I'm like, who's she?
That was the first time I'd like, ever been bar hopping, by the way.
That's Karen.
Yeah, like,
and I'm like, who are you? And you're like, oh, I do leadership and executive coaching. And I'm like, you don't want to coach me. I'm
but
a mess.
Really,
I'm a full-time job.
What I really am is, you know, this little Carroll County girl grew up in the country. You know, you need a cup of sugar. You need a stick of butter. Yes, I use
Did you grow up in Hampstead?
I grew up in Eldersburg.
Eldersburg, okay. Liberty High School?
Like, yeah. But right. I just love people, and I want them to live. And I was like, look, like this crazy soup that we call life makes us who we are and do what we love. Like, you love what you do. Like, now I will do what I do every day for the rest of my life.
You found your thing.
This is my. Like,
you're never going back to PT.
No.
Even if my back hurts?
Well, I mean, I'm going to get something to say, like, hey, here's some things that you can try. Because that's just it. It's like there are these like super simple things that people don't know about, like the marathon muscles and sprint muscles in our body and how our alignment and breathing has a profound impact on how and like where we live and age. And
Tony Robbins always said that
here.
About
yeah.
breath, and I didn't understand
yeah.
that until I did yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I there's a dude in our yoga class, and he's a listener.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, you know, I respect you. He holds his breath in yoga.
Mm.
And I'm like, the first rule is you have to breathe.
Well, like not breath. Everybody follows the rules, you know.
But if you don't, you're going to pass out. Or you're going to make me pass out listening to you go,
are you listening to him instead of tuning into your own body?
Oh, you can't stop hearing other people in class like that. Mm. You got to breathe. Breathe in.
You got to work on your meditation. I'm sorry.
Out.
That was a. You
breathe
may
in,
want to consider.
Breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. It's power of breath. It's important.
I know. Sometimes when I'm sitting in the sauna up here, there are people that come in and they breathe really loud in the sauna. I'm like, can you breathe a little bit more quietly?
Yeah, it's like loud chewers. Oh, my God. All right. So what do you got to say about my documentary? Because you watched it and
I really
listen, if I didn't, if I were going to hire a priest, rabbi, Faulkner leadership, well, give me the F and the T. What are they again? The four things?
PMCT.
PM. Go ahead. What a P?
P for physical,
uh-huh.
M for mental, C for communication,
uh-huh.
T for time.
I would waste your time. I would over-communicate. You think I'm nuts some of the times. Maybe not. I'm, and the physical part I'm good with. I'm
going
to breathe. I'm going to drink water. I'm going to get my right rest. You don't need to coach me on that. I'm kind of cool on that. Like, I'm self-motivated in that way. But the part where you communicate with other people – and the part where you have your head together all the time, that encouragement or that validation that, you know, you look for, that's where you would come in for a coach for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's different for everybody. And it changes, you know, for day to day. Like, really, it's just like people need a truly safe space. Everybody does. I genuinely believe that. And so it's, you know.
All right. So my documentary. Go ahead.
All right,
you're
so
saying.
Documentary.
So right. If I came to you, what would you, now that you know a little bit more about me, where would you start with me? Besides the mental health part. Which is always a challenge.
You know, like, it's just different, you know, like, because every time you would come in, like, things happen. And it's just like, well, what's going on today? Like, you know, I have some executives who just like, literally, it's just like, what's happening today? Where are we going? You know, are we working on? What's the plan? You know, but then there's like the leadership program that we do. And then sometimes it's just like, I don't know, like, what problems do you want to solve today? What do you need to get off
your chest?
All right,
so I'm going to pretend that we're having a real counseling session right now.
Oh, okay.
And this is what I would say. It's like the Ravens offense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I am my worst own worst enemy, okay? Because the world is full of infinite possibilities out there, and I only have my 18 or 19 hours a day, which is a couple of more hours than most people have a day of energy to do this. And there are days, yesterday being one of them. My wife said, because we're going to the holidays, I got all this music classic going, I'm doing a lot of selling right now. My wife said, how's your morning? And I'm like, eh, you know, I give myself a 7. I mean, I was kind of productive, but then I jerked off a little bit on Facebook and this and that, and I did this that wasn't focused exactly on what I was. So I'm kind of hard on myself a little bit in segments. The one thing that I have started doing, this is a good leadership thing, because I keep reading it, is instead of multitasking, really bear down for like 45 minutes or an hour. So what I've really been trying to do at like 5 in the morning is saying, okay, I'm going to get this thing done right now. And if it takes me 30 minutes or an hour and 30 minutes, I'm not stopping until this thing's done so I can scratch it off my list. So I become very, because I have so many things going on, and if I focus on all of them, my mental health goes to poop.
Right?
Like,
for sure.
I get overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. The end of the day comes at 6 o'clock. My wife's like, so how did you do? And I look down on my list. I'm like, well, didn't do that. Didn't do that. Didn't do that. I'll do that tomorrow. That felt really like a lot to do, and I couldn't start that. So I couldn't finish it, therefore I didn't start it. That's a real problem when you have that. When the task feels so big that you can't, it's an elephant and you can't bite the toenail, you know, like at all. So really that part where you say, this is what I can get done today, this is what's capable, and then getting it done. And that's my 2% stack every day. Because I can't get 100% done today. Get 100% done if I say by next spring. Can I have that new app rolled out? Can I have the new sponsor for the new app? Is Karen going to be my managerial advisor by then? Can I get her onto the payroll? So I'm trying to think of all of the things that happen. But the biggest thing is making a list first thing in the morning and then saying, what's the most important thing? And what's the thing that I can at least make progress on? Not finish, because that's always the hardest part. Seeing the end of a project and realizing, oh, man, that's going to take like a lifetime.
You missed a step.
How do I even start?
I think really the other thing that we really need to incorporate here is the why. You know, so like when I think about your documentary and, you know, the journey that you've been on and in terms of just like strategically, like what you're doing to maximize this time that you have in the present as well as the rest of your life. It's okay. Well, here's who I am. Here's what I've been. This is what I want my legacy to be. And in that way, your moves in every day, you know, day by day, week by week, month by month.
This is my real, like, honest to God, Tony Robbins.
Is this
chart.
Your why? Are you going to show
me
your
this
why?
This is my honest to God. Tim Watts is here. He worked for me back when I was young. I was a terrible boss. We'll talk about that later. So what does that say?
Find my why. So
there it is,
have
right
you
there.
Found your why?
Find my why. Da, da, da. So there's my chart right there. I'm not going to let you read it off. The purpose of my life is to be the best version of myself, enjoy all of the passion, joy, and energy of life's journey, and do everything possible to give and receive love, gratitude, and peace to the world for myself and others.
Yes. And so like when
shake it off. Every defeat is an opportunity to grow and learn. There's never failure. Every day is another chance to redeem, improve, and correct. There is no shame. False evidence appearing real. Fear. F-E-A-R. That's like everything and run. No, you don't know about that one? F-E-A-R.
Face everything and rise. Face
or everything F everything and run.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's the opposite. That's there you go. There's always hope because I'm alive. Don't feel hopeless. Despair. No situation is final except for Chad Steele's press pass. Just a road to a better place. Anger is short and temporary.
Yeah. And so like when you're like, this is my core values. This is what I want. Then it's like your actions are much more goal oriented and it's not as overwhelming because you're like this single first step, this elephant's toenail.
See, if you look on here, you'll see my chart. that I cross out the 20, 21, the 22 to 23, uh-huh. and I've taken like a little sheet of paper that I put on.
Yeah.
And I do this at Christmas every year.
Yeah.
It's my Tony Robbins commitment.
I love it. Yeah. Like, that's like one of the things my clients have is like a 10-minute strategic plan. Like, what about personal? What about professional? What was your win? What was, you know, something that you want to do better or different? You know, what are the promises that you're making to yourself? What are the promises that maybe you didn't keep this year? You know, and what do you want it to look and feel like?
See, I just put the cook in the kitchen with you. You don't know it. I just had you giving the advice that you give in your real life. So I've done my thing.
Thanks, yeah.
Karen Faulkner's here. She's trying to fix me.
No, I'm not trying to fix anybody. I'm just trying to.
I don't have enough money to pay you, and you don't have enough time. You one of the four was a T, time.
Uh-huh.
You don't have enough time to fix me.
You know, I'm not here to fix people. I'm here to support them so that they're not alone, because like that is like. Well, I don't know a single leader who's not already strong.
I'm having a fried crab cake at Green Mountain Station.
You're so good.
Our work is done here.
Yeah. It was fun. It was.
Right. Tell everybody how to find you other than through me.
So you can find me on LinkedIn. Probably where I'm the most active is on LinkedIn. But I also have a website, www.FaulklerAdvisory.com. And then I'm also on Instagram if you just want to know more about my, like, that's like been my journal these last few years with my workout posts. And just, that's just kind of who I am.
You are a little video snippet inspirational person. That's what you do. That's your little thing.
Like,
I watch them sometimes, not all the time, but I see, you know, see your pretty face pop up. I'm like, all right, what's she lecturing me about today?
I need to learn about.
I don't know. No, you give wisdom. You try to provide wisdom.
I just play, and you know, like I love reading, like the Stoics and like philosophy, and like I get up and I read poetry and Walden and different things.
I've been
and
putting so, some of that up lately.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. Like, there's so much good stuff.
Ever since Trump got elected again, I threw everybody off my Facebook page. Only thing that pops up are these inspirational things.
Oh yeah. Well, I do like the inspiration, but I'll tell you this too: is like in the age of information overload, information gluttony, technology, like I am a huge fan of paper and pen and writing things down and journaling. And so like
a wise man proportions his belief to the evidence. History is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. So I'm just going, that's Thomas Jefferson. I'm just going through these. So yeah, I've been pulling them lately too.
We're all
trying to get up earlier in the morning and get more done. And I appreciate you coming out. Karen Faulkner is a Hampstead resident. We are here at beautiful Greenmount Station. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have lucky 11. Karen has lucky 10. Turn it up to 11. It is music classic week here through the holidays and Thanksgiving. Last question before I let you go, and I probably should get the menu here because they used to have a menu here with these really funny descriptions of desserts. A lusciously velvet cloud.
Oh, I think I did see that.
I read those, and it's always funny to read it here. It's Thanksgiving. Pumpkin, sweet potato, apple, mincemeat. Where you go? Which one? You only get one. One pie.
Probably pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Whipped cream or ice cream.
Whipped cream.
But
if it was apple, it would be ice cream.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a tip, and this is for everybody out there in the listening audience, because you know Wise Markets is my sponsor. They've been with me a number of years. I hope they remain with me. Love you guys. They have an ice cream factory up in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, and I went up to the factory.
They have the best ice cream.
Right. Okay, so you're already there.
100%.
So I went up to the ice cream factory, and I ate it soft off the line when it came through, and I did the whole thing. And one of their district managers said to me like 3 years ago, this time of the year, I was in the store and they recognized me. They're talking to me and it was our sponsorship and this and that. And I said something about like the holidays and pie or whatever. And the guy says to me, listen, I work for Wise. You can just trust me. Spend the $3. Go down there right now and get the cinnamon ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't sound like sexy cinnamon ice cream.
Oh, no,
like,
it's good.
Who would want cinnamon ice cream?
This girl.
Cinnamon ice cream. If you go to Wise and you get it for $3.19 or $2.99 if you're a Wise rep or reward shopper, it goes with everything. So cinnamon ice cream, you buy it now. You've got it for pumpkin. You got it for apple.
Uh-huh.
You got it'll work on mincemeat. Mm-hmm. It'll work.
What is mincemeat? I don't even know what that is.
Mincemeat pie.
I've never had
so
that.
My mother and father were both born in 1919, so they were really old. Like fruitcake old. You know, my mother liked fruitcake.
Yeah.
So mincemeat pie is an old recipe. It's not made with meat. I think in the old Gaelic English world, it was made with meat. That's why it's called mincemeat. The American version, it's basically like a sassy raisin. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a spicy, fruity. Let me look up mincemeat pie and read.
Now, have you ever had a shoe fly pie?
That's chocolatey, right? That's a chocolate, chocolate like with like oats and something like that.
No. It's like its own thing.
Mincemeat pie. Hold on. Mincemeat is a mixture of dried fruits, spices, sugar, nuts, distilled spirits. It says sometimes meat. Used as a filling for pies and pastries, British intelligence officers used Operation Mincemeat to deceive the Germans about the Allied invasion of Sicily.
Wow.
So there you go. So I said it was a glorified raisin, spicy, fruity.
Yeah,
so mincemeat pie. And I love mincemeat pie.
Well,
so.
Now I'll have to try that. You know,
I hate fruitcake, though. Don't bring
it. It's such a weird texture.
It's gross.
Yeah, I'm with you on
it's
that.
It's like eating a shoe.
Yeah, unlike the ice cream, because I will say that their ice cream, like I like their chocolate chip cookie dough is my favorite, and the vanilla is like super soft and creamy.
I am a vanilla bean person. Mm. I get the vanilla bean ice cream when I buy Wise. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. Get the cinnamon ice cream.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm
thank
so thankful for Thanksgiving.
Watching, listening.
Thankful for my friends, my
I'm
new friends.
Thankful for my friends. I'm All thankful right. for everybody.
Give me the four, big four again. Go ahead. Give me the four.
The PMCT?
Yep.
Physical wellness affects your mental wellness. Mental affects physical. These affect how you communicate and connect, so C. And these three things, physical, mental, communication, affect how you experience time. T is the last one.
Well, my back hurt, time moves slow. Trust me.
Yeah, it changes everything about today, tomorrow.
I have begged Chris and David to come back up here. I haven't been up here in about a year. To get this crab cake.
Mm-hmm.
You got it broiled because you're all ladylike and, you know, watching your holiday figure.
No, I wasn't.
Fried, baby. Fried is the way to do it. I'm Nestor. We're up here at Greenmount Station. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Thanks for coming in, Karen. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having
Karen
me.
Karen Faulkler, a leadership advisory. Find her on the internet. She'll change your life and rock your world. Stay with us.